take now the word of the Lord. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, we'll be reading from verse 21 through chapter 15, verse 24. 1 Kings 14, and we'll start in verse 21. And this is the word of the living God. Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonitess. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy more than all that their fathers had done with the sins which they committed. They also built for themselves high places and sacred pillars and Asherim on every high hill and beneath every luxuriant tree. There were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took everything, even taking all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place and committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. Then it happened as often as the king entered the house of the Lord that the guards would carry them and would bring them back into the guard's room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Abijam his son became king in his place. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maakah, the daughter of Abishalom. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had committed before him, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord, his God, like the heart of his father David. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, became king in his place. So in the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa began to reign as king of Judah. He reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maakah, the daughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. He also put away the male cult prostitutes from the land and removed all the idols which his fathers had made. He also removed Maakah, his mother, from being queen mother because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah. And Asa cut down her horrid image and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly devoted to the Lord all his days. He brought into the house of the Lord the dedicated things of his father and his own dedicated things, silver and gold and utensils. Now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold which were left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tebrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel and conquered Ijon, Dan, Abeth, Ma'akah, and all Chinneroth, besides all the land of Naphtali. When Baasha heard of it, he ceased fortifying Ramah and remained in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation to all Judah. None was exempt, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with which Baasha had built, and King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Now the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did in the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age he was diseased in his feet, and Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place. Thus far in God's holy word. And so for the past few weeks before this, we've been looking at Jeroboam and the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, verses 15 and 16, about how the northern kingdom would come to ruin. There was promised by the Lord. And now we turn to the southern kingdom, back to the southern kingdom in Judah, and that history for a period of about 60 years between 931 and 870 B.C. We see the reigns of Rehoboam, Abijam, and Asa. And first with Rehoboam and the judgment that must come. He mentions Rehoboam, that he reigned in Jerusalem. And then no sooner does he mention Jerusalem, but he qualifies that the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Compared to the northern kingdom, Jerusalem is the center of orthodoxy, not Bethel, not Dan. But there is still pagan influence here. Surrounding the text about Rehoboam is his mother. Now you might ask, why was his mother's name mentioned twice at the beginning and at the end of Rehoboam, the section on Rehoboam? Now she was an Ammonitess, verse 21 and 31. Remember the influence of Solomon's wives back in chapter 11 and what had happened because of them. And here we don't have to guess that that's what probably would happen. We have evidence of what actually happened. Judah did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Why did they do evil in the sight of Yahweh? We brought that up, the question about what the people of the nation do in following their leaders here. It says not Rehoboam did evil in the sight of the Lord. It actually says Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and we can assume and imply because of Rehoboam. They built idols, Asherim, unbiblical sacred pillars, and other things, all to stir up the jealousy of Yahweh. What they did was all that the Canaanites did in the land before they were dispossessed by the Lord. And this was the trend, not just during Rehoboam's reign, but all throughout the history of the southern kingdom of Judah, as we will see, Lord willing. Immediately upon hearing that Judah is taking part in what we see, we actually see aspects of Yahweh's initial judgments using Shishak from Egypt to attack Judah. And you look at the details, we find that the spoil that is carried off contained the gold shields of Solomon. And Rehoboam replaces them, verse 27, with bronze shields. And so we see that the splendor that once was under Solomon, because of David, is fading. The gold and the wealth of the kingdom, fading. Greater judgment is coming due to their idolatry, as we've already seen promised. But now chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, we see that there's still some grace under the reign under Abijam. As we look at verse 3, we see the end of it. It was Abijam's heart, which was corrupt, that caused him to walk in the sins of his father Rehoboam. And we might be asking the question, when is the Lord going to destroy the southern kingdom, as he promised about the northern kingdom? Why does he not destroy it? Because it is for David's sake, which is really talking about Yahweh's promise to David. Because of Yahweh's promise to David, the kingdom in the south and Judah will continue. It won't continue because man obeys, because they don't. But because Yahweh has decided and he has promised. Abijam did not reign long, 3 years, and then came Asa, who shows us some possibilities for hope during these kings. With Asa, we find a king that actually did what was right in the sight of the Lord. We haven't seen that for a little bit here, and thinking of the northern and southern kingdoms. But he does what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David. The first thing he does was get rid of all the idols, the fertility gods, the prostitutes, his mother. His devotion was so great that he got rid of his mother because he loved the Lord more. And he burnt the Asherah. And we see the description, Asa was wholly devoted to the Lord and his worship. And from this came hostility and enmity between Asa, the southern king, and Baasha, the northern king, which we'll see, Lord willing, next week. And there came about a political crisis. Baasha came down into the southern kingdom, a fortified town named Ramah. This was only 5 miles away from Jerusalem, north of Jerusalem. And so it was a key city in defense of Jerusalem. And it was Asa who made allies with Ben-Hadad, that he would break this treaty that he had with Baasha and attack Baasha. While Ben-Hadad was attacking the northern kingdom, Asa called the people and they go to Ramah and take down all the fortifications that were made there, and they build two other cities with those fortifications. And we see here what happens to many leaders in the scriptures. They are politicians and they rely on political maneuverings over Yahweh's power and wisdom. And yet Asa did, generally speaking, right in the sight of the Lord. And so we be warned here, beloved, especially those in authoritative positions, and in all that you do, it is possible to walk like David in Christ. And purity of worship can be protected and preserved. Times of hope and reform can appear in the midst of pending disaster. The reign of Asa is a clear indication of that mercy from the Lord. He was used to slow the descent into infidelity. We'll see that the kings after him will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. But here he is used by the Lord to slow the descent before they are taken into exile into Babylon some 100 years from now, or a few 100 years from now. Let's pray. Father, we call upon you, the God who is creator, but also is king over all creation. And when Israel desired a king and they chose Saul, you were already king. And you reigned already and you ruled already. And you were completely sovereign and you still are. And Father, as we see over and over the sin of rulers, even under David and his interaction that we see here talked about that had to do with Uriah the Hittite and the murder because he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And Father, we ask that we would have rulers like David, except for that sin and other sins that he committed. That we would have rulers like Asa, who would put to death and put to destruction idols and the Asherim in our lands. And that they would call sinners to repentance and turning to you, the Lord, and a call to worship you. Father, we struggle with faith to believe what we pray. We ask that we pray with faith. That you are able to do these things, just as you have done in the past. Father, we would thank you for the mercy that you have shown us, as you showed to Judah and these kings, that you, even though there are kings and rulers who do evil in your sight, and yet there are still a few righteous who remain. We ask that you would strengthen us in this time, as there is evil leading us and our rulers and authorities over us in the civil realm. A few righteous, and yet many and most who are evil and wicked. Lord, turn them from their sin. Cause us to pray for them. Cause us to submit to them, which is very difficult in these days. Father, we ask that you would grant us rulers in the future that would love you. Father, we ask that we would bow the knee to your Son, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, that none here would have to, that it would not be that on the last day they are made to bow at the judgment seat, but that you would cause them to bow while they are still breathing on this earth, and while their blood still flows, that they would not forsake you, but that they would love you all the days of their life. That's what we pray for all of us here, that we would love you. Love you as our King and ruler and our provider and our protector, our fortress. When Judah did not have the ability to protect themselves and allowed Israel to come into Ramah, Lord, we know that you will protect us in a so much greater way, even spiritually, from the devil and Satan. And so, Lord, protect us. And deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.